Good morning, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SouthCars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SouthCars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.boip.southcars.com. Your net control actually for this session is Gary, KC2RMO from Syracuse, New York. Probably cold, Syracuse. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And my location is beautiful Vero Beach, Florida. Currently 77 degrees, high today of about 81, slight breeze out there, but wall-to-wall sunshine. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask, is there any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled? If so, come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. I do see a birthday station out there. Hopefully he'll come aboard when I call for birthday station. So, at this point, how about any birthday stations either last week or this upcoming week that would like to come aboard so I can say happy birthday? Okay, I see that birthday station does not want to come aboard this morning, but I see you connected, Bill, VE3MEW. I hope you have a very special birthday tomorrow, and hopefully you'll join in on our session this morning so everyone can say happy, happy birthday. Everyone, this is the Sunday Morning Rag Cue. The purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere to enjoy a moderated rag cue. Our topic this morning, to start things off, is Ask an Elmer. Any questions you have of the experts out there, any topics you want to talk about, any discussion, we hope that you'll be part of the session this morning. But I do want to let everyone know I always record these sessions. If you've been part of this session this morning, you most definitely will be part of the recording. And I hope that everyone will join in and have a lot of fun. So, Gary, with that, I'm going to bypass the announcements right now so you can get started on this morning's session. And with that, I do not see your back up there quite yet, but I'll be in the background in case you need some help. So with that, Mr. Gary, KC2RMO, the gavel is all yours, but let us know that temperature up in New York. Gary, come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and hello to everybody everywhere, and thanks for connecting to the SouthCars Sunday Morning Rag Chew. It's cold out there. It is a cold morning here in Syracuse's beautiful Outer Comstock section. We have 22 degrees. We hit a low of about 18 last night. There is a persistent breeze out there. It's not as bad as it was yesterday. We're up about 7 or 8 miles an hour for the breeze, and I don't know what that knocks it down to for wind chill, but it's cold. It's really cold. It really is. And we're expecting some mixed weather coming through here a little bit later on tonight, this afternoon and tonight, where we'll be getting freezing rain and snow and ultimately turning into rain tomorrow. So a big sloppy mess for the next couple of days. And everybody's freezing and everybody's sinuses are killing them, and it's just a miserable old time around here, that's for sure. But the topic this morning is Ask an Elmer, and this is always fun. It's kind of like an on-air meeting of the Gas House Boys Social Club. It's like it really is a good time. Basically, we're talking about the technical aspects of ham radio, anything that has to do with ham radio stuff. We just want to throw it out there and talk about it. Let me just buy a nickel. Basically, the way it works is if you have a question, I'm going to do check-ins and ask the question at the check-in. We'll throw it out to the folks listening and see if we can come up with an answer for you. Plus, it's the holiday season, if you didn't know that. And for our net today, we'll ask the question, what ham radio gift would you like to see under your Christmas tree or Hanukkah bush? Well, actually, Hanukkah ended on the 5th, so we'll ask, what did you get that was ham radio related? But that's the way we're going to do it. We've got some suggestions for Christmas gift ideas for hams. So it's time to ask an Elmer here on South Cars. Whether you're a new ham, and we love to hear from new hams, or if you've been around the block a few times, we'd love to hear from you. So come on aboard. We're taking check-ins right now. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
And 6 Victor, good morning, sir.
V3MEW.
Well, there's three good ones to get things going, so we'll kick things off with George. Hello there. Good morning, sir.
Well, and a good morning to you there also, Gary there, my friend. What can I say? It has been a great day, and when you told me about the problems with your weather up there and the nasal cavities, man, you just turned my sunshine off. My heart goes out to you, my friend there. I just wanted to jump in there and say a good morning to you before I had to run. I did a Buffett thing these past couple of days. I put my feet in the water and my on a rock and hit the keys and just got back in. So we'll let it go. And I thank Mr. Birthday Boy there. Take care. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Hey, thank you, George. It would be great if all you guys in Florida could send a care package up to Syracuse. Just bottle up a whole bunch of Florida sunshine in that beautiful sea air, right? And just you know, put it in a six pack or something, and we'll open it up on days like this, and everybody will be feeling a lot better up on this end of things. Well, thank you, George, for checking in. We'll move it along to 6 Victor. Good morning, sir. It is good to hear from you once again.
Yeah, it seems to me we were doing this last night. Hi, Gary. George, good morning to you, sir. I know that you've been quiet for the last couple of days, and I didn't know that you had headed to the Keys and back, but glad to have you with us. KY6V here, Central Florida, 69 degrees currently. Headed for 81 today, and then a low tonight of about 62. Humidity's about 96% currently. The wind is almost non-existent. Just a little light stuff coming in from the north. And the Atlantic is free and clear and clean and no disturbances out there, so we're all smiling. I've made a note here on my to-do list, and I'll get a care package headed in your direction. If the bottles don't leak, you're all set, Gary. What do I want for Christmas ham-related? I want a rotatable rhombic, and I want the property to go with it. Can you handle that? KY6V, over.
I'll ask the guy with the sanitary clause to see what he can do about that. Wouldn't that be great? Wow. I'll put that on my list, too. I'm going to start running down some of the Christmas gift ideas that I gathered up in a few minutes. I don't see a rotatable rhombic on there, but I will add it to the list. This will be of course sent all responses to the check-ins will be sent to Santa Claus this year, and he'll be checking the naughty and nice ham list. And if you end up with something, you know you did a good job. But that would be awesome. That really would. And we'll, as I say, we'll get into a few more things along the lines of, in the next break. But thank you, Gordon, for checking in. We'll move it along to a guy who's having a birthday. And let me, Bill, wish you a happy birthday on behalf of all of us, too. MEW, come on aboard.
Yeah, good morning, Gary.
This is V3MEW. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, looking forward to tomorrow. Special meal coming up that my good lady's going to put together for me. By the way, just to let you know, it is currently 18 degrees Fahrenheit here. And feels like 11 with the wind chill factor. So what you had, we got. And as far as your sinuses are concerned, you know, there is a pill for that. They have a pill for that kind of thing. But just think about it this way. You don't have any bug problems right now. There's no mosquitoes. There's no black flies. You know, there's no hornets flying around. There's nothing out there to bother you. You don't have any danger of heat prostration. You know, you're not going to collapse on the front lawn from being overheated. Oh, and for my list for Christmas, anybody got a spare HF linear they can like to put under my tree? That'd be nice. About 1,500 watts, that'd be cool. I could live with that. I think I could find room on my shelf here for it. But anyway, this is a technical net, apparently, or Elmer net or whatever. So I got a problem or a question for an Elmer, anybody. And I kind of spent a week and a half or so back, a while back, writing letters back and forth to ARRL to try and get a solution to this, and there wasn't any. I did everything they told me to do. It still didn't work. And that's concerning Logbook of the World. Well, I got my certificate number, and I'm all registered, everything's fine and hunky-dory, until I come to run the TQSL program, and I was supposed to make a click on the thing for location. Got to make a location file. And every time I try to do that, it's just error, 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 over and over and over again. It is so frustrating. And it won't accept anything I put in. It just keeps kicking back error, even though I'm putting in all the right stuff. So that's disconcerting. I really would like to participate in Logbook of the World, but for the moment it's not working. So if anybody has any solution that I don't know about, or that ARRL doesn't know about, sure, it would be nice to hear about it. V3MEW, back to you, Gary.
Well, thank you, Bill. Hey, a linear would be mighty fine on this kid's Christmas list, too. Actually, a linear would be, yeah.
You're not getting one.
You just heard from Santa Claus. It's like, guess who's not getting one this year? Logbook of the World is something that I've struggled with. I'll be honest with you. I have struggled with that for the past few years. I started out using it. I got it running. I got everything operating, you know, going correctly with it. I had a problem with the computer. I ended up doing a clean install of the operating system on it. I reinstalled Logbook of the World, and I could never get it to work right after that. So I'm going to go and just play a little troubleshooting with you, Bill. It's kind of like my old days at work, but I'm going to ask you two questions, and maybe I can at least get things started for you. And if the folks are listening, maybe based on what you're going to hear from my two questions, maybe you can formulate an answer too. So, Bill, my first question is, what OS are you running? What version of Windows are you running? And secondly, was there anything specific to that error? Did it give you an error number, or did it give you any verbiage with that error? Did you see anything like that?
Yeah, it's V3MEW here. Well, the operating system is Windows XP Pro. So that's what we're running here, Windows XP Pro. As far as statements regarding the error, yeah, there was. I don't remember seeing an error number. But there was, if there was, I don't remember it. And I had it written down, because I was sending it back and forth to ARRL, to the chap there that was trying to render some assistance. And, but I don't remember what it said. I wrote it down. And so the only way I'd ever get it is to go back in there and try and do it again. Oh, my goodness. But no, I can't help you with that one.
Okay, that's okay. It's KC2RMO right here. One thing I would suggest, and then I'm going to throw it out to other folks to respond to. One thing I would suggest, that you running XP Pro, great operating system. I used XP Pro ever since it came out, and and I always thought it was a great OS. XP, well, the nice thing about XP Pro versus Windows 7, or God forbid Windows 8, it is a little more lenient as far as permissions go versus the other two. Let me just buy a nickel. XP Pro has the ability to run in what's called compatibility mode. Now, if you can find the actual program, if you can go to the programs folder, it's probably installed in, you know, C Windows programs, and find Logbook of the World, right-click on it, and it should give you the ability to run this in the compatibility mode under your properties. And you might want to run it in compatibility mode for Windows 98, 95. I noticed a lot of ARRL software tends to be rewrites of old stuff, old 98 stuff, and things like that. So it's possible if you run it in a compatibility mode, you won't get the error. That would be my first thing. It would be my most likely scenario that maybe it's not running in a compatibility mode. That might clear it up. But I'll throw it out to the audience. Does anybody have any suggestions for Bill for getting Logbook of the World running? We'll take check-ins right now on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars. Nope, nobody with any ideas. So, Bill, I'm going to suggest that to start with. Try to do these two things. Try for your compatibility mode. See if you can get that running correctly under that. And secondly, if you can find that error number or that error text, the verbiage with that error, Google it. A lot of times when you Google those errors, it'll give you a path to go down, you know, that you'll have an idea of where to go. So there's two little hints for you, or two little tips for you, and that may get you going in the right direction. We're doing Ask an Elmer this morning, and basically we're taking your questions. If you're having any problems, we're talking those over. We're throwing those out to the folks listening, just if you want to just talk about ham radio related stuff too, we're doing that as well. So we'll take any check-ins that you might, if you want to check in, that's what the guy's trying to say. If you want to check in, come on aboard right now. We're taking check-ins. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Oscar Victor India.
OVI, Mr. Pete, come on aboard there, sir.
Here's my question for the day. Have you acquired a Polaroid tablet, and the part number is PMID918KIT. And I wanted to know if anybody has something like that out in the world and have their opinion of it. You have to think about this tablet. It has 4.2. Oh, what's that program that they got in there? Android? Yeah, Android 4.2. I was wondering if people like that Android 4.2. I know there's millions of people that are probably using it in their phones and their laptops and every which way. But I just want to get a general feel as to their likings or dislikes about that system. 84 Oscar Victor India, back to mid control.
Well, Pete, that's a good question. The Android operating system's been out for a couple of years now, and what basically the Android operating system is a form of Linux, and Linux is a form of Unix. Unix is a operating system that's widely used on mainframe computers. It's been around for a long time. It's an extremely stable system. I think we did a couple of Ask an Elmer's back. We did a segment on Linux, using Linux in the ham shack. It's a great operating system, especially if you have older equipment You know, it's too good to throw away type of stuff, right? But you don't want to upgrade it. Well, you'd be surprised. Linux is a very versatile operating system, doesn't require a whole ton of resources, and there's a lot of really good ham radio programs written for it. Now, that's Linux. That's the Android's big brother, okay? The Android is basically designed for mobile apps, and that would include telephones and tablet computers. I am not familiar enough with the Android OS on a telephone to be speaking with any degree of authority on it. My lovely wife has it on her phone. She lives on that phone. She loves that phone. It is a favorite of hers. So I can give it the kid tested mother approved seal over on that one. Okay. You know. Personal experience, I've used her phone a couple of times and found it very easy to use. Let me buy a nickel. And it makes sense. I mean, it's user friendly. So, you know, you can navigate around that phone pretty easily without having to spend a lot of time learning it, so I know it's pretty easy in that regard too. So it's obviously got a lot going for it. I'm, you know, we use a lot of we have this is like the International House of Computers here. We have more computers here than I think most think tanks do. I've got, I don't know, five desktops. We've got the phone, we've got an iPad, you know, we got everything going here. It's crazy. So we've got a whole ton of operating systems that we're basically now we've whittled it down, but we're between our main systems are Mac OS X, Windows 7, and Windows 8. That's and the Android OS on the phone. So we've got those, but it used to be worse. I used to be chasing between, you know, everything. So do I like it? Yeah. Is it a good OS? I believe it to be. I'll throw this out for opinions through the audience. What do you think if you're using an Android phone or an Android device? What do you like about it? We'll throw that out right now for check-ins. I'm KC2RMO. This is South Cars, and we're taking check-ins.
Victor Hotel.
Sierra United November.
We have Victor Hotel and Sierra United November. And Steve, it is good to hear from you. What's going on this morning?
Well, good morning, Gary. Good morning to everyone on board the net. 37 degrees, fog, rain, even heard a little thunder this morning. Not a very nice day here, but we'll stay inside and avoid that. Android 4.2, otherwise known as Jelly Bean, is a fine operating system. But like any operating system, you have to make sure that you have enough resources to run the operating system. So, for example, I run 4.2 on my Galaxy phone, my Galaxy S4 phone. I would not try to run 4.2 on an older phone, a phone with a single processor in it, like a Galaxy S1. It just doesn't have the horsepower to crank the operating system. So for every piece of hardware, there is a range of operating systems that will run reasonably on it. So with the 4.2, you're talking about the memory size of modern phones, and it runs fine. I love it to death. Any further questions on that? Back to you, Gary.
I don't, but you make a great point, Steve. I don't think a lot of people realize that too. That you know, we take these things, these devices are marvels of technology. They really are. I mean, when you think about that Galaxy phone that you're holding in your hand, go back to what was sitting on your desk 10 years ago, and it's five times more powerful than the hottest thing that was out there 10 years ago. You know, we have multi-core processors in these things, and gigabytes of RAM, and they're just as powerful as anything. And they fit in the palm of your hand, and you can talk on the phone with these things. You know, it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. And like any device of that, like any device, it requires an operating system. And like any operating system, it requires resources. You're absolutely right. If anybody out there would know, you would. You know, it's just like trying to load Windows 8 on a 10-year-old machine. It ain't going to fly, you know. So Steve's got a great point there that you want to match the operating system to the hardware that you're using. That's for sure. Let me buy a nickel. But the other thing that I wanted to throw out, too, is that with the Android OS have come a lot of you have a great selection as far as apps for that phone. There are just zillions and zillions and zillions of them, and these are and most of them are free. It's a lot of open source stuff. It's just like Linux, it is wonderful that you can just go out there and do a little Google search and, you know, come back with a handful of really, really good apps that don't cost you a nickel, and that's pretty good. That's the other advantage of that open source OS that's on that thing. Thank you, Steve, and I hope we'll hear from you again. It's always good to hear from you. We will move it along, and a little ray of sunshine now. Here's Kathy at K6SUN. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Gary. A little ray of sunshine. That's so clever. Good morning, everyone. Gary, I have the Android phone, as you well know. It's a new experience for me, but I, too, love it. But, you know, I've been looking into tablets. Let's see. I have 3 desktops, fairly new ones, 5 laptops, the Android phone, tons of keyboards and old monitors and old parts. You know, I'm thinking that we could open a store. But I've been looking into the tablet, and I like the Dells, and that's what I've been looking into. The Dell tablet, it was a 7, I believe a 7-inch, but it had the Android operating system, and I really didn't want that. But I've been looking. I had quite a special I could get on, and hopefully Steve's listening, because I've been looking for some advice. The 8 has 32 gigabytes, and it has Microsoft Office on it, and the Microsoft Windows 8, which actually I just love. But I've also been looking into the 11 that they have. And so I've just been, you know, looking into it, trying to think of one I would like to get, because I could take this to school and probably connect to Echolink on that, where I can't do that on my school computer, and it's just smaller. So, you know, I at times like to get some of the new software, and they gave me such a good special, but just a little confused on the ones to get. But I definitely would not get an Android tablet. I would like the Windows, though. So maybe you can throw that out there, too, and see if there's anyone with any suggestions on tablets, because I think the 32 gigabytes is just too small. I think it wouldn't have any space on it. So I'll throw it back to you, Gary, and thanks for picking me up.
Well, thank you, Kath. I'll tell you, there are a number of Windows tablets out there, Windows-based tablets out there. Every major manufacturer is putting them out, Dell, Asus. Microsoft itself has, I've seen a nice-looking one from Microsoft it's called the Surface, and that has a keyboard that you can actually, that's part of the cover, and you just take it off and you plunk it in, and, you know, you don't have to use an on-screen keyboard for it. And they come in different, they're not fixed to 32. I've seen 64 gigs out there. I think the one thing that you have to realize is that, you know, these are not desktops. and they're not even laptops. I mean, there is a limitation. You can, and you know, as far as your storage goes too, I mean, you can always use removable storage too to augment that. So, but there's a lot of power in these units. I mean, a lot. Again, I'm awed by the horsepower that's available in these mobile devices. And the Mr. Jingles just. Stephanie is trying to do some sewing, and Mr. Jingles has decided that he wants the thread better than anything else. But I'm awed by the amount of power that's available to us on these mobile devices. I personally, if I was going to go out and purchase a tablet, let me just buy a nickel. If I was going to go out and purchase a tablet, and from what I know of them right now, I mean, I'd have to probably do a little more research, but I think what I would do is I would lean towards the Windows platform. I think they call it Windows RT in the tablets. I think it's called Windows RT. It's like a scaled down version of 8.1. Because number one, you know, if you're familiar with Windows 8, it's got to be a great fit for you, and you have all the Microsoft goodies that go with that too. So. And you know, and all the Microsoft problems too. But you do have the good stuff that Microsoft has available for you too. So I think I'd stay with that. Now, Steve, if you're listening, I'd love to hear your take on this because you're certainly very knowledgeable in this field. And so if you're there, I'd love to hear your comments, Steve. If you're available, come on aboard.
Okay, Gary, still here. KF5VH. Well, let me start off with the power. If you have a current modern telephone, you have more computing power in the phone. I'm talking about storage and computing horsepower than they used in terms of controlling the Apollo missions to the moon. You have more computing power in your phone. So things have certainly changed. As far as the tablets, I think tablets link with operating systems. So you have, if you want iOS, obviously your iPad. If you want a Microsoft environment, it's a little trickier. The RT operating system is a stripped down version of other Windows environments. So I would say you're probably better off to get a laptop that feels or has the physical form of a tablet. At least that would be my choice. I'm very happy with the Android operating system. My wife has a 10-inch Samsung, and I have an Asus convertible that we run Android on, and we love them both. But getting a tablet that runs Windows or Android without the ability to plug in something USB to take things off, I think that would be a mistake. Back to you, Gary, KF5VH.
Well, I'm kind of like you. You know, I'm like with me. You know, I haven't seen a my favorite OS is something that they don't have anymore. It was the B OS. It was from back in the mid-90s. I loved that. I absolutely loved that. And there was a whole story about that one that you may be familiar with. But that was to me, that was an OS, you know. But I do like the idea on some of those tablets. I know I've seen it on the Microsoft device that they have the USB port. And I miss that. We have a first-generation iPad that doesn't have that, and I do miss the idea of, you know, being able to interface like that. So that would be, I would think, to me, you know, an enticement to do it. But if it was for my own person, Android would be fine with me on a tablet. I think my darling wife, however, would prefer a Windows environment in a tablet.
Okay.
Yeah. You see, yeah, you know. But she does not like she doesn't like iOS. So you know, every different strokes for different folks. That's basically it. But we will. We have a couple of comments in the text box, and Bill MEW, we see you there, and we invite you to comment, sir.
Yeah, this is V3MEW. Back to you, Gary. Just a couple of things I can mention. My wife and I were out shopping yesterday for Christmas for my daughter and my grandkids. They don't have a DVD. The last one they had died, so we went to Future Shop. We were looking for a buy, and we got one. And then we, of course, wandered through. I don't know why we always wander through the computer section. There's just something on the floor magnetically that draws us to it. We can't help it. We wandered through the computer section, and I had never seen these before, but I saw those Surface things you were talking about with the keyboard, and so I stood there and I was playing them with them for a while and showing my wife, and she thought they were pretty neat. Nice little keyboard, seemed to work well. And I was flipping back and forth through some of the apps, and I put up a few sticky notes on the screen wishing people Merry Christmas and all that good stuff, but just for fun. And then the guy come over and wanted to know if he could help us. I said, no, we're just looking. He said, well, these are on special now. We could buy here, blah, blah, blah. So, anyway, if Kathy hasn't checked them out or played with them, they're kind of neat. You can go in the store and fire them up and play with them and see what you think. I thought they were neat. I just don't feel I want to spend that kind of money on them right now at the moment. But anyway, moving on. One thing I started to do here about a year ago, Gary, was to try and document and keep track of things I did on the computer. There's nothing worse than doing something on a computer. Things go wrong and you think, oh, good grief, what did I do? I don't remember. How did it work? Oh, man. So now I try to document things when I'm going through a procedure of installation and checking and alignment and all that other foolishness. Anyway, I brought up this little file here. I'll just read it over to you very quickly. And just buy myself a... I need a dime, so I'm buying a dime. Okay, there's my dime. Okay, I got the sign. This is what my little text file says. I got the sign certificate back and installed it okay. Read over the tutorial and other menu items on my LOTW account page. Click on icon to run tqsl.exe. Selected. Sign existing ADF or Cabrillo file. Oh, okay. I had a file I was going to do. Anyway, TQSL warning. You have no station locations defined. You must define at least one station location to use for signing. Okay. Use the new button of the dialog you're about to see to define a station location. I did that. In Select Station Location for Signing Windows, clicked on New. Next item I see is as follows, and this is where it gets interesting. Trusted QSL has encountered a problem and needs to close. We are sorry for the inconvenience. If you were in the middle of something, the information you were working on might be lost. Please tell Microsoft about this problem. We have created an error report that you can send to us, and we will treat this report as confidential and anonymous. To see what data this error report contains, click here, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And I saved them. I have the error report. Not that it makes a whole lot of sense to me. The other stupid question I have is, why would I be sending it to Microsoft? They have nothing to do with Logbook of the World. It doesn't make any sense to me. If I was going to send an error report, it seems to me it should go to ARRL. Ooh. Oh, my goodness. KC2RMOV3MEW.
Thank you, Bill. I hate that error. I spent years and years and years listening to that error because our software used to get that too, okay? Every software gets that, and believe it or not, it is a Microsoft issue. And what it basically gets down to is it can be one of a zillion different things. It is the most vague error and most perplexing error, and it will drive you up a wall, okay? It can be anything from permissions it can be the service pack of XP Pro you're running. Or, you know, what SP are you running? Are you running SP2? Are you running SP3? It may get back to that compatibility mode I was talking about. It may be certain updates need to be done on your OS. It might be your .NET framework. It could be a zillion different things. And I always hated that error because you're trying to tell people, well, it could be this, it could be that, try this, try that. And, you know, these people would get frustrated, you know. But really, what I'm surprised is, and it could be too, that when you talk to the ARRL, that they're just in the same position that anybody that supports software is when they get that error. And it's just like, you know, it could be anything, and maybe that's what they're trying to tell you. My suggestion would be, first of all, to let me buy a nickel. My suggestion would be, number one, make sure that the OS is as up to date as you can. All your updates have been done. That you're right up to where you need to be. Having done that, again, try running that program in compatibility mode for, say, Windows 98, and see if that improves things. And keep on the ARRL too, because again, it's a very it's one of those vague errors that drive people nuts. And you know, they may have some suggestions that for folks that through their experience they might have to offer you. I know at work we used to run into that, and you know, these were people's databases that they were running their businesses off of, and they were getting less than patient with that sort of thing, and it would take a lot of troubleshooting, and eventually you'd find something, but it's never one common cause. It's one usually operating system related problem. That's been my experience with that error. So I hope that helps you somewhat. If anybody has anything that they want to add to that, certainly come on aboard when we take the next round of check-ins. I did want to go back to Kathy, K6SUN. Kath, if you're there, has this helped you at all in your tablet quest? She must be busy. So we will move it along. I did see that Pete has some comments there going in the text box. So OVI, let's hear what's going on with you.
Yeah, I wish I would have had an explanation about this CUSL. Oh, that's MEW is saying CUSL is a program ARL device to sign your log files and manage your certificates. Oh, that's what I did. I mean, are those certificates for a program over? 84 hours shipping to India?
Well, those certificates have to do with its ability to run on a Microsoft operating system. And as Bill's pointing out here, TQSL is the program that provides you with your sign in log files, etc. It is that program that's throwing the error, okay? And it's like everything else. You know, you can write a program, but it has to play nice with the operating environment that it's in. There may be resources that are in that operating system that it needs that it can't find, or that they're not compatible with. That changes have happened that make it incompatible, or it requires the latest version of something. I know a lot of times, not all the time certainly, what we would find that in our particular situation, we would have to reinstall the .NET framework, the Microsoft .NET framework. about a 50-50 shot on that. Sometimes it would improve, it would get rid of that error. Sometimes it wouldn't, you know, and you'd have to look for another source. But there's one thing that usually gets you going on the right direction. But again, like I said, it's never the same thing every time. So in this case, it's TQSL is the program. What's the incompatibility? One thing you could do, excuse me, that's better. One thing you could do, just for kicks, I mean, if you have a spare computer, maybe running Windows 7, okay, load Logbook of the World on that and see if the TQSL program runs okay on that. See if you're throwing errors. And that could say, okay, now you know I'm running well with 7. I'm not running well on XP, so what do I need to upgrade, you know? Or am I just incompatible with XP? I don't know why it would be. That program's been around forever. But it may need something, you know. So that's why I say make sure you're updated 100%. Make sure everything is current. The other thing, I'll tell you another thing that just came to mind, all right? What kind of antivirus are you running? Are you running an antivirus? If it is running, what is that antivirus? Bill, are you running an antivirus product on that machine?
Oh, sorry about that delay. I had a little tickle in my throat there. I need another coffee. I only had time for one so far this morning. Terrible. Yeah, I run ABG on here. I also have Malwarebyte. I have Spybot, Search and Destroy, and so on. And the ABG usually is about the only one that runs continuously. That's updated to the 2014 version at the moment. Seems to be working all right. Mostly at about all it does these days is scan my incoming emails. Anyway, just a brief explanation for Pete there. He asked about the certificate. The whole purpose of Logbook of the World is kind of to move a little bit along from these physical QSL cards. You know, it's getting much more expensive and much more of a problem from everybody's standpoint to be sending QSL cards all over the planet, trying to verify that you've worked, 100 countries or 150 or whatever it is. And of course, with the expeditions, it becomes just horrendous. I mean, you have thousands and thousands of people calling and wanting a QSL and so on. It's just horrendous. The Logbook of the World serves really well in that I can work you, for example, KD4OVI and on, say, 10 meters or whatever, update that information to Logbook of the World, and you it will check with you and say, well, okay, you've got a verified contact with Ontario, Canada, whoopee-doo, and so on and so forth. So, in other words, in order to keep that straight, keep it square, and keep it honest, so that there's no cheating or to a minimum, anyway, they got to know that you and I are both who we say we are. So when I applied for a certificate, and I had to send them in information. So they checked it, and then they issued me a certificate. It's okay, Bill V3MEW is who he says he is. He lives in Peterborough, blah, blah, blah. He's a licensed amateur radio operator, advanced, and so on and so forth. Whoop-de-doo. Now we're good. So presuming that that's all squared away, and the next thing after that is you need your certificate. You need your location file. Your location file goes with or would add to your ADIF or Cabrillo log file when you go to upload it to Logbook of the World. And it would verify not only that I have a qualified certificate from as checked by ARRL, but that my location has also been verified by the program. So that everything is up and above board and honest, and you can, presumably, there may be ways of cheating, but I'm not going to bother looking around to find out how it's done. But, that's the whole offset behind that, Pete. If you investigate it and you go up to the ARRL site and start reading their tutorials and stuff on Logbook of the World, you'll come across all that information. So, anyway, I'm going to try some of the things you suggested there, Gary. I have a brand new Windows 7 disk here that's never been opened, and no need to install it at the moment so far. So, anyway, I heard the tinkle for the timeout. Back to you, V3MEW.
Hey, thanks, Bill. You know, as much as I hate to say it, Probably a good idea to load that Windows 7, okay, because I believe it's this spring. They've kept extending it, so I've lost track, but Microsoft is going to eventually dump all support for XP. That's number one. And upgrading may solve your problems immediately. That's number two. The third thing is as far as Logbook of the World goes, the reason I used Logbook of the World, it was that some places require it, but normally, unless it's something very special, I have regular QSL cards that I use in a special situation. But normally, I use a site called eQSL. Which is the same idea. They verify your license, and it's 100% guaranteed to be, goof-proof. It's totally legit and blah blah blah. And that's been very very successful for me. And it's kind of neat because you can QSL somebody, and if they're an eQSL member. You get your QSL back in seconds, and you can use their designs or your designs and all this stuff. It's free. They have a premium side of things, and it's pretty much, I guess, voluntary. You can send give them $5 and you get to be a bronze member. Give them $10, you get to be a silver member. But the basic service is free. And I've used that for a long time, 2-3 years now, and that's been very very good. So you can kind of, and it's online. I mean, you don't have to install any software. It's just you go to the website, you do your transactions, and you log off. So unless you're required to be using Logbook of the World, because some situations require you to have that. You don't really need it, too. If you're just trying to cut down on paper QSLs, that's the way to do it. Let me buy a nickel. The other thing, Bill, I would say is as far as AVG goes, it has been my experience with AVG that it can be problematic with stuff like that. I know, again, that was one of the things at work that we would run into, and you would ask the question, are you running any antivirus? And they would say, AVG, and you'd get out the 2x4 and smack them. It's like, it really caused a lot of trouble with our installer, particularly when people tried to upgrade their versions of the software. It would interfere with our installer every time, and it would also interfere with the program running. So maybe try disabling your AVG, too. Okay, give that a shot and see if that doesn't clear things up. So I would try AVG and eQSL. You can just Google that, and it'll give you all the details that you need. And that's my little contribution on that one. We are doing Ask an Elmer this morning, and two things right about now. I'm going to buy a nickel. Two things right now. The first thing is I want to ask Kathy. She said in the text box that helped a little bit, and I'm sneezing in between here. that helped a little bit. That information helped her. So we'll invite Kathy to come on one more time. See if we can follow up on her question a little bit. And secondly, see if you have any questions or comments regarding the situation of bills. And then I want to get on to Christmas gifts for hams. So we'll take check-ins right now. I'm KC2RML, and this is South Cars.
Echo, correct, Quebec Yankee.
Ask Quebec India for the comments.
Okay. We have Quebec Yankee. And OVI and Jim, we'll kick it off with you. Quebec Yankee, come on the board.
This is KB4QY. I'm Okanogi. I just want you to know I'm here. I'm late, but I'm here. I was just late about I'm supposed to be your backup, and here I was late. I regret that. But anyway, I see your Cadillac and all. And I, then when I got here, I started to check in with my Echo 1880. little McCall sign. KB4QY, brother.
Jim, if you want to snooze a little bit, that's just fine with me. I'm awful glad you came in, and it's great to have you there. And whether you're late or early or whatever, it's just great to have you with us. So thank you for being there. I almost, you know, there's been a time or two where I've almost done that too. So, OVI, Pete had some comments, so we would like to hear them. Pete, what do you got?
Okay, first of all, we need to establish a ham credit card with a limit of 100K or above, issued to all of us, so we can buy all this goodies, and maybe hopefully someday. In 20 years, we'll get all paid back to the ham bank or the credit card company. But that's the first thing. The second thing was worthy of what you were saying, is disabling all your systems that handle antivirus and malware and whatever else have you, all the other above. Sometimes those things can look at a program and either deny it or whatever. Maybe not even want to install it properly because of that. Because they check programs, and if they see a program that says it's iffy, they just flag it. They'll either flag it to you or refuse to send it down unless you give it permission. Now, here it is. If you give it permission to load down the system, you're taking the liability, not the program that's trying to figure out whether that's what you want on the system or not, since most of these things are all handled remotely through a third-party program. But that's my input to the audience. I'm KD4 Oscar Victor India. Back to Nick and Joel.
Hey, thank you, Pete. Yeah, AVG came out. I'm gonna say 10 or 12 years ago. I used it right from the very beginning because it was a great free program. It did everything it was supposed to do, and it was non-invasive. It just took care of business. It was great. And there are other things, too. The way the AVG, because a couple of times I'd heard Malwarebytes referenced, and Malwarebytes is an excellent program, but you don't use it, or I don't use it, the same way that you would use an AVG. What has happened is, in the latest versions of AVG, it has become downright invasive. It is a wicked program. It's almost as bad as Kaspersky or Norton. It may be worse in some ways. I remember at work where AVG had actually quarantined the executable for our software. You know, it's like, I don't, you know, you get a call, like, I can't get this thing to run, and you'd troubleshoot it, and you'd find out it was in the virus locker in AVG, you know, and it's okay, great. Yeah, that's really good. So it's a very invasive program, and if you're having troubles and you're running AVG, you need to disable it as a troubleshooting step. Now, as far as your suggestion for a ham credit card, I love that. and I'll go you one further. I think you should get a credit limit based on your license class. All right, so a technician gets maybe $25,000, and a general gets $50,000. But if you're an extra, you know, you get the full $100,000. You know, which is one more reason to get that license, friends. but It's a great idea, and you have my vote for that one. It's Ask an Elmer this morning, and we're talking about all things technical as far as ham radio goes, and just ham radio stuff in general. Let me buy a nickel. And as we all know, it is Christmas coming up, and we all have our little Christmas lists, and I've certainly put my share of ham equipment on the Christmas list. So I thought to further facilitate the economic recovery, I would throw some suggestions out here for people to put on their Christmas lists, and let's see if we can get the electronic sector revved up a little bit. And really, you know, the first thing is equipment, right? You know, a new rig, you know. There is charm and wonder and mystique to running a boat anchor. And if I had a boat anchor, I would never, ever, ever give it up. You know, that is to me the essence of ham radio. Having said that, I like new equipment just as much as the next guy. Maybe even more so. You never know. You know. So how about a new rig this year? You know, have you been a naughty or nice ham? You know, if you've been a nice ham, maybe ask for one. An antenna, I know a lot of us build our antennas. Some of us buy our antennas, and certainly, you know, there's no shortage of them out there. Go through the catalog and, you know, see what you like and maybe put that on the list. How about a new microphone? I'll tell you something. I bought, I have an ICOM 718. I used to have an ICOM 735. Which I love both of those rigs. The 735 started getting a little flaky, and I figured it was time to find it a home where somebody could just rebuild it. Let me buy a nickel. But 718's been a very good reliable unit. It has a lot of good things going for it. It's a little plain. It's a little Spartan. But it gets the job done. It is a great little rig. One thing that I did do was that I had a Heil IC microphone for that thing. And I'll tell you something, the difference in audio quality, I would get signal reports of great sounding audio that you would never hear using that hand mic. And using that Heil microphone just made a huge difference. So a microphone is always a good and reasonably priced, generally, gift to put on your Christmas list. Other things include, have you ever seen, and I saw this on Ham Radio Nation, you talk about Heil, Bob Heil was using one of these things, a Lucite on the air sign, you know, where it has your call letters lit up on this clear Lucite sign, and it'll say, you know, KC2 RMO on the air. It looks so cool, and you can rig those things up, and you know, it'll key with your microphone, so it's just very, very cool looking, and not terribly expensive. I've seen these things for a ridiculous price of about $150. Mine costs like 30. If you shop on eBay, you can get them a lot cheaper than the big guys are advertising. Let me buy another nickel. How about and this is kind of nice. I've seen the, and again, I'm not going to reference any particular place to purchase these. I wouldn't want anybody to think I have a pecuniary interest in any of these places, but you can certainly Google them. Okay. Ham radio Christmas ornaments are pretty cool. If your wife will let you put them on the tree, they're kind of neat. The old standby of ham radio t-shirts and mugs. Ham radio books, right? The ARRL is a wonderful source of books. They put out books on just about every ham radio subject. And that really is probably the definitive source. How about, and I've seen this in a couple of websites, they take a copy of your license and they make it into a plaque. It's like etched into a. They copy it. It's etched into a piece of brass or whatever, and it's mounted on a board, and that looks pretty cool. Buy another nickel. How about this? Upgrade your license. Get the course materials needed to upgrade your license. And while you're doing that, don't forget South Cars. So don't forget the outreach courses that we have just by going to the website. But you can always get a Gordon West course, too. And between the two of them, you know, that will help. Also, the same idea applies to learning the code. Okay, and again, don't forget South Cars, okay, because we have that available on the website as well, and it's a great course. How about electronics tools, right? Soldering equipment, you know, the helping hands to hold the pieces, what have you. Test equipment, you know, always good. And last but not least, the stuff that I have on my list anyway, is an assortment of connectors and hardware. You can put these like in a nice organizer, like folks use for nuts and bolts and what have you. Not a very expensive gift, but really, really helpful. I mean, you know, you're looking for a connector and you don't have it. That gets pretty frustrating. So those are my suggestions, and I'll throw it out for check-ins right now. Anybody have anything else that they could suggest to give a ham operator for Christmas? We'll take check-ins right now on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
All right, I'll go for one more. Katie, for us, get back to India.
Well, Pete, good to hear from you. Come on and let us know what you got.
Here's my suggestion. We need a neighborhood hub, a big, huge storehouse, so we can go and get our stuff, but what we need, on call, 24 hours a day, and, oh, gosh, would that be a blessing? So you have to go all up to Ohio to get your stuff once a year, Katie, for us to break in there.
Well, I'll tell you, if you have seen, George says that looks like a Heil MG5. What I have just seen, I saw a video this week with Amazon. And Amazon is actually fooling around with something right now that is a drone. You know how we fly drones as military operations. They have a very small four-propeller-driven drone that they are going to be delivering orders with. I'm not kidding you. that you can order this Amazon airship, or whatever they call it. And they showed it in action. The guy in the warehouse picks the part, he puts it on a conveyor, it goes into this little container down the line to where this drone is waiting. The little mechanical arm comes down and grabs it. This thing has a route programmed into it, and within 30 minutes, this drone is landing in your front yard, and you got your stuff. Now, you know, it either has to be something that is insanely important, or you just like throwing money around. I mean, it's got to be like, what, you know, you buy a $10 item and it costs you $500 to ship it. I don't know, but how cool would that be to see the Amazon drone landing in your front yard with your SO239? It's amazing. They have to do some more approvals with it, I guess. The FCC has to approve, or not the FCC, but the FAA has to approve it, and you know, they have some other things to work out, I guess. But they're talking 2015 on this, so wow, you know. So Pete, you're not far from the truth there. Amazing. We're kind of getting down to the end of things, I guess. So let's do it this way. Let's take one final round. We'll throw it out for one final round of check-ins. Any comments, any questions, anything you got, this is the last call on Ask an Elmer. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Yeah, Gary, one reply to your comment, over.
Go ahead, Pete.
This is going to be, how about if you order yourself a good-sized transceiver or something like that. But it'd be able to handle the payload. And well, you have to have different sized drums to deliver different things. I could see it. Come up with a big sky crane and you deliver yourself a KMW or something like that. You ever can do.
Hey, I'm holding out for a transporter. Yeah. Yeah. Beam me up the FT-450, you know. It's real. You should see this thing. If you have the chance, Google it. It's just Amazon drone. I think I just use those for the search terms, and it'll blow your mind. Thanks, Pete. Anybody else for the last time around?
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Hey there, George. What's going on?
Well, thank you, Gary, for doing the show. You never did answer my question, but these drones, man, I don't know. It scares me, Gary. It really does. What can I say? How it all come about, you know, what its purpose is. You know, was for, it scares me that. But what can I say, my friend? You let me know if you're interested, and we'll box it up. Don't know what end you need for it, if it's the J45 or it's was it quarter of an inch plus? KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Oh, George, I want to put in a standing order for that. I want to scheduled, you know. Could I have it, you know, like on a regular weekly basis? Please bottle it up and send it up. We'll take all you can send. Thank you there, sir. And it's always a pleasure. It's been a good net today. Always enjoy doing Ask an Elmer, and it is always fun. He had some great questions, we do this just about once a month. You don't have to be. This is another thing I always like to stress that you don't have to be an extra to participate in this network. You can be a technician where the ink isn't even dry on your license yet, okay? As a matter of fact, you've probably got more questions in that regard than folks that have been doing this for 20 years. We love to hear from you. So if you know somebody who's new, have them come aboard. Have them join us the next time around. Bring any technical or ham-related question to this. We just love it. It's just great. And you got a lot of great people here to help answer your questions, too. So once again, my thanks to Jim for being my backup, and Kathy and Gordon for backing up the backup, and for everybody who participated today. It's just super. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPnet schedules and general information may be found on the VoIP.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session has been Gary, KC2RMO, saying 73 and closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.